นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะ The day before yesterday, we dealt with the subject on how a meditator realized specific or individual characteristics of a bodhisattva process when concentration is deep enough. Here I explain to you. Observing the rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen how you experienced it or how you realize the specific characteristics of a physical phenomena, and also how you differentiate between nama mental process and rupa physical process. To realize these phenomena, you need a reasonable degree of concentration. When your mind is concentrated on any mental states or physical process which is observed, say about 5 or 10 minutes constantly, uninterruptedly, that type of a concentration is deep enough to realize these specific individual characteristics of a bodily and mental phenomena. To attain reasonable degree of a concentration, the most important thing you should do is to note any thought arising in the sitting as well as in the walking. Wandering mind, thinking mind, imagination, planning, seeing mental images, all these mental states must be noted without failure until each mental state has disappeared. Only after it has disappeared, you return to the primary object. When the mental states such as a thought, a distraction, restlessness are attentively energetically noted, they become less and less. Concentration becomes deeper and deeper. Unless these thoughts are noted, they become worse. They keep growing. Sometimes meditator noted mind is absorbed into thought process. Sometimes the mind is taken away by thought process. In this way you are not able to concentrate your mind well on the object of meditation. So to have reasonable degree of concentration, you should not fail to note any thought arises in the sitting as well as in the walking. These thoughts, whatever thought it may be, good or bad, small or big, must be noted until it has disappeared. To note these thoughts, you need more attention, more energy. Note it more attentively, more energetically, and somewhat quickly. Because if you are noting mind is not attentive, not energetic enough, the noting mind becomes weak, then the thinking process becomes more and more overwhelming, stronger and stronger. Then thinking process overwhelms the noting mind and take it away with it, along with it. When the noting mind becomes attentive, energetic enough, the thinking process becomes weaker and weaker, then it stops in a short time because it's overwhelmed by the power of that noting mind. Then you come to realize the thinking mind thought process is not everlasting. It's not permanent. It arises and when it's noted, it passes away. So it's impermanent. Here, you come to realize one of the three characteristics of existence. That is anicca, impermanence. You come to realize or experience impermanency of a thought process, which is observed. So you should have at least the two types of a benefit out of noting these mental states and emotional states. Emotional states such as anger, sadness, worry, sorrow, and so on. One benefit is that you come to realize the impermanence of a thought process when it has disappeared. The other process is that the mind becomes gradually more and more concentrated on the object of meditation. So you should not fail to note any thought that arises in the sitting as well as in the walking. And vipassana meditation, observing the thought, noting the thought, is the most important factor to make progress and concentration as well as insight. But there are also ways and means not to have a lot of distractions, a lot of thoughts. When you have meditated, say, about 4 or 5 days, if you take it seriously, practice intensively, being aware of almost all actions and movements in the daily routine, and more detail, slowing down more and more, then your concentration becomes better and better. When the concentration becomes better, when you note rising, falling movement, observing each movement of rising and falling, to realize that the beginning, the middle, and the final phases of the rising movement, and the same with the fallen process. If you are able to perceive the beginning, the middle, the end part of the process, your concentration is a good. Then, when the concentration is good, sometimes you find a gap between falling movement and rising movement. You note rising when the abdomen rises, then you note falling when abdomen falls. After falling is noted, before the rising does not start, there is a gap in between falling and rising. Gap means here you have a bit of a time, and mindfully, only after that the rising movement comes up and noted to rising. So when you have a big gap, the mind may slip through the gaps and go out and think about something else. Because it has a bit of a time to slip out through the gap. So, to prevent this noting mind from slipping through this gap, you should fill up the gap with one object. How? After falling, you should note sitting posture. Upright posture of the body is observed as sitting. Then your order of noting will be like this: rising, falling, sitting. You observe the movement of the rising movement, rising process, and then you observe the movement of falling process. After that, before rising starts again, you have a little bit time. At that moment, you note sitting posture, focusing the whole upright posture of the body. When you feel you are sitting, you note sitting. After you have noted sitting, then there arises a rising movement. Okay, then note rising. In this way, rising, falling, sitting. The gap, a little gap between falling and rising is filled with the noting of a sitting posture. In this way, you have to know the three objects: rising, falling, sitting, rising, falling, sitting. Then concentration will become better, because before you insert the noting of sitting in between falling and rising, your mind has a little bit of time to slip off. So it goes out through that gap very often. When that gap is filled with the noting of sitting, then the mind hasn't any time to slip out. so they can go, cannot go out, then concentration will be better, becomes better. In this way, you should note rising, falling, sitting, rising, falling, sitting. Sometimes you may have a big gap in between falling and rising. Say, that gap of a mindfulness becomes so wider or bigger. Then you can know another object apart from noting of sitting. The another object is any point of touching. You have many points of touching sensation in the body, in any part of the body. Your body touches the floor. The butter touches the seat. The anchor touches the floor. The toe touches the floor. Your hand touches each other, and so on. There are many points of touching. Out of those touching points, one point which is predominant, more prominent than the other touching point, must be noted as the object of meditation. Then the order of noting is like this: rising, falling, sitting, touching, then rising. Rising, falling, sitting, touching, fall. Four objects must be noted consecutively. Then the mind has to make some more effort to be able to know these four objects properly. So it becomes more attentive, more energetic. It hasn't any time to slip out. Then concentration becomes better. In this way, rising, falling, sitting, touching. But sometimes, though you find the big gap, which is enough to insert two objects, but sometimes you may not find the big gap. You may not find gap, small gap or little big gap. Then you can note only one object, sitting. Rising, falling, sitting, rising, falling, sitting. If you are able to note another more object, note rising, falling, sitting, touching, rising, falling, sitting, touching. Then your concentration will become better. When the concentration is reasonably good enough, there will arise the insight that realizes the specific characteristics of physical phenomena and mental phenomena. It depends on your concentration. You should try to do four objects or three objects. If it is okay, you should continue to note it. If you are not able to note three or four objects, you note normally as usual, two, rising, falling. Perceiving actual movement of a rising process and the actual movement of falling process, the beginning, the middle, and the final phases of the processes. In this way, you can make your concentration better, because you can deepen it. In the same way, in the walking too, if you note left, right, you can attain deep concentration on noting your left and right. At least you should note lifting, pushing, dropping. At least three parts of a step must be observed very precisely. Lifting, pushing, dropping. If it's possible, you can increase your object step by step. Say lifting of the foot, raising of the toes, pushing it forward, dropping it down. When the foot touches the floor, touching. When you are about to lift the other foot, you press the front foot, so pressing. After that, immediately after you have noted the pressure of the front foot, then you start to lift the heel of the other foot, note lifting. If you find the intention before lifting, you note intention too. Intending, lifting, raising, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing. Sometimes, when your concentration is good to a certain extent, you may feel the noting becomes mechanical. You can easily note lifting, raising, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, lifting, raising, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing. As if effortlessly. Then you should know you need to note more objects, because it's easy for you to note these five or six objects. So you should note, say, lifting. One movement should be noted two times. Raising, pushing. Pushing may be noted, say, about three times. Pushing. Dropping, touching, pressing, and so on. In this way, you can deepen your concentration. Then, if you are able to note the intentions before each movement, you should try to note intending lifting, intending raising, intending pushing, intending dropping, touching, intending pressing, and so on. If you are able to note all of these objects very well, your concentration is very good. But if you are not able to know these the objects, including the intentions, you should not do that. Unless you are able to do that, you should not do that. Because if you note lifting, pushing, raising, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing. If you feel tight or rigid in the mind or in the body, it means that you cannot do it. So you need not note all these objects. You reduce your objects, say, note lifting, pushing, raising, dropping, touching, pressing. If you find the intention before lifting, you should note only one intention. Intending, lifting, raising, position, drop in touch and presence, and so on. So then you need to put some more effort in the noting so that you can precisely and attentively observe each individual movement of lifting, pushing, dropping, and so on. If you note lightly and superficially, you can't concentrate well on each movement. Very often your mind will go out, wander. It doesn't stay with the movement of the foot. It's the flying. So superficial and light noting is not affected. You must not do. Note every object attentively, energetically, precisely, and closely. In this way, your concentration becomes better and better. Then when concentration is deep enough, you feel your foot light. Sometimes you feel you are walking on the air. Sometimes you feel you are walking on a boat which is on the waves of the sea. Sometimes you feel treading on the streak of a curtain. Under your feet, you feel very soft. Then you are out. The walking is very easy. The noting is also very easy. Every movement is noted, can be noted. Then you come to realize the movement of the foot, not the form of the foot. First of all, the movement of the foot or the sensation of the movement together with the form of the foot. Well, when concentration becomes better and better, you come to realize the sensation, the movement of lifting, the movement of pushing, the movement of dropping. In this way, you come to rightly understand the stepping means a series of movements. You come to realize. When as the practice goes on, concentrations have become better, then you see or experiencing just movement without the form of the foot. You lost the sense of the form of the foot, and you lost the sense of a self or a person being. What you are realizing is a series of broken movements of lifting, a series of pushing movement, a series of broken movement dropping, a sensation and the pressure and so on. Then, at that moment, because you are realizing just movements or sensation of the movement without being conscious of the movement and the form of the foot or the leg or the body. Here, that realization of the natural process of movement removes the idea of I who am walking, the idea of a person who is walking. There you don't see walker. What you see is just movement, lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement. These movements, motion, Sometimes, when you put down the fruit, then the fruit is spring up again. Something spring the fruit up under the feet. Sometimes the fruit is gliding naturally, automatically, without your effort. These are the characteristics of movement, motion, vibration, supporting. That is Vayu, Dhatu, and Pali. Wind or air element. What really functions is the air element, water, wind element. It's not the person, not the being that walks, or it's not the person, not the being who lifts the fruit, pushes it forward, drops it down. You come to experience it very clearly. That experiential knowledge of the specific characteristic of a wind element eliminates the idea of a person who is walking. The idea of a self, the idea of an everlasting soul. Because what you realize at that moment is just a series of disconnected movements arising in person away one after another. You can realize if you think about it, if you reflect upon it. If you analyze it, you can realize that this type of the series of disconnected movement and the walking. It can be realized through personal experience, the right experience of bodily and mental phenomena, by means of mindfulness meditation. So, while you are experiencing each individual movement, rising, then passing away, rising, passing away, you come to judge none of the movements is everlasting. Every movement arises and very instantly passes away. Another movement arises and then very instantly passes away. So they are impermanent. Impermanent, anicca in Pali. You come to experience the impermanency of the specific characteristic of this bodily phenomenon. General characteristic of bodily, individual characteristic of bodily phenomena. In the same way, because you realize the impermanency of each movement, rising and passing away. So here, you come to realize the general characteristics, common characteristics of a body mind process. General or common characteristics of body mind process are anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, anatta, no soul, no self, and an impermanent nature. These are three characteristics which belongs to all mental phenomena and physical phenomena. These three characteristics are in common with all mental states and physical process. Every mental state has these three characteristics: impermanent, suffering, and personal nature. Every physical process has These are three characteristics: impermanence, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, and impersonal nature. So these are called general characteristics or common characteristics of a body-mind process. When you are realizing a series of broken movement rising in person with one of another while you are making stepping or walking, then you have no idea of I or you, self or so, person or being. Because what you are realizing is specific characteristic of a wind or air element's movements, natural process of a movement. Natural process of movement is neither a person nor a being, neither is self nor soul. What's there? This is just a natural process, movement, motion, vibration, supporting. In this way, you come to remove the idea of a person walking, the idea of a man walking, the idea of a woman walking. There's no person, no man or woman in the walking. What are they? They are a series of movements, lifting, pushing, dropping, pressing, and so on. Then, when you have removed the idea of a person or being self or soul regarding that step or regarding the walking, then you don't have any desire, any anger, any conceit, mental defilement, because desire, anger, hatred, aversion, conceit, jealousy, and so on arise depending on the idea of a person, a man, a woman. If you take dual process of body-mind dual process of mental and physical phenomena to be a person, to be a man or a woman, then that person has a desire to be rich. That person has desire to have a great deal of wealth. That person has a desire to be pretty, to be handsome. That person is angry with anyone or anything. That person is conceited with his success in his business. These desire, hatred, anger, aversion, conceit, and so on arises depending on only the idea of a person, a being, a self or a soul. So now, when you are realizing this is a series of disconnected, broken movements arising and passing away one after another, you don't have at that moment the idea of a person or being, self or soul. Then you don't have those defilements, desire, anger, hatred, and so on. In this way, mental defilements are eliminated, removed, because they are seat or base, which is the idea of a person, a being, has been destroyed by the realization of a specific and general characteristic of a body-mind process. Then you feel happy, peaceful, because you have no agitated mental state or you have no negative mental states which make you suffer a lot. Those are defilement. In this way, in the walking meditation, if you are able to observe each individual movement precisely, closely, then you experience such a unusual experience in the movement of the foot or in the walking. This is called the vipassana jnana, insight knowledge that penetrates into the specific and general characteristics of a bodily and mental phenomena. This is called nama rupa paricchida jnana, the insight knowledge of mental and physical phenomena, or the insight knowledge of the discerning mental phenomena and physical phenomena. And when you realize impermanent suffering, impermanent nature of the movements of the foot, that kind of knowledge is called insight knowledge of a comprehension. Sammasnanyana in Pali. In this way, gradually meditator develops its insight knowledge with strenuous effort, continuous mindfulness, and deep concentration. If we proceed with this effort, mindfulness and concentration, when he notes and then before lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, lifting, intending, lifting, and then pushing, and then dropping, touching, and then pressing. In the same way, in the daily activity too, every action and movement is preceded by intention. Without intention, none of the action is done. Without the intention, no physical phenomenon moves. It's the intention that causes the action arise. It's the intention that causes the phenomena moves. So, when you slow down your actions and movement, you can find this intention, intending sitting down, sitting down, sitting down. When you sit down, you should sit down very slowly. Before sitting, you note intending, intending, sitting down, sitting down, sitting down. In the daily activity, you must be like a snail. You must not be like a rocket. If you are like a rocket, you are not able to know any movement. If you do all actions and movements very quickly, you can't observe any movement or action. If you are like a snail, I think you have seen snail. Have you seen snail? You have seen? Yes. Yes, snails are very quick. when they go, that they very quickly go, very fast. Huh? Is it so? No. And how does the snake go? Very, very slowly. And say, an inch. So now the snail takes about 5 minutes, 5 minutes to go 1 inch. So, in daily activity, you must be like a snail. Why? These actions and movements consist in a series of movements. But because our concentration is not good enough, we are not able to observe the movement. We do not know these individual movements or actions. We think these movements are one and the same. Say if we stretch out the arms, we stretch them out quickly. We do not see the movement of the stretching out. Because we do not carefully watch it as it is. So when in the meditation retreat, meditation center, you stretch out the arms very slowly. Noting stretching about 10 or 50 times or 20 times. Then when your concentration is deep enough, you come to realize each individual movement of a stretching movement, stretching of the arms. Then concentration becomes deeper and deeper. You come to realize many tiny broken movements of stretching. At that time you are not aware of your hand. You lost the sense of the hand. You are realizing just movements, just a series of many broken movements. So to realize these movements, we have to slow down all actions and movement as much as possible. Why do we need to realize these phenomena, physical phenomena, in this way? Because we do not realize the specific characteristic of this phenomena. We take the stretching of the arm as the palm of the hand. Then the idea comes up, my arm. When the idea comes up, my, then the idea comes up, I. I observe my arm. I observe the stretching of my arm. Then you have the idea of a person, the idea of a man or a woman. Then there will arise like or dislike of your movement of the arm. Like here means that desire. Dislike means aversion. These desire, aversion are mental defilement, which are the causes of suffering. If you observe each movement of a stretching of the arms, then when you realize a series of broken movements of the arms, then you don't take this movement to be a person, a being. You see there as just a natural process of a movement. Then you have no idea of a personal being. The idea of a personal being self or so, man or woman, has been destroyed, removed. Then there won't arise any mental defilement, like or dislike, desire, craving, and so on. Here, defilements has been overcome or abandoned. So, to realize that this individual characteristic, specific characteristic of the movement of a wind or air element, which constitutes so-called a leg, a hand, a neck, or a head, a body. We have to slow down these actions and movements and observe them without failure and more detail. And when our concentration deep enough, we come to realize it. When the concentration becomes deep, we can know the intention before every action and movement. Then we note intending, stretching, intending, bending, intending, sitting down, intending, rising from the seat, and so on. While you are taking breath, while you are eating, while you are answering call of nature, while you are dressing, undressing, there are many, many actions and movement which must be thoroughly realized as just a natural process of a movement. So you have to slow down and observe them, all of them. So in the same way, when walking, you note intending, lifting, pushing, dropping, touching. When the concentration is good enough, you come to realize. First of all, you feel it. When you know intending, lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing very precisely and attentively, your concentration is when your concentration is good enough, then you feel your foot is lifted up its own accord. You do not lift it, you feel that the foot is naturally and automatically lifted by itself. In the same way, when you push it forward, the foot is pushed forward by its own accord. Whether you are effort or whether you are doing. Sometimes the foot pushed forward too much. You cannot control it. But you do not do that. Then you feel my foot is lifted by itself. It's pushed forward by itself. So you feel a strange experience. Sometimes you may think you have gone mad because of this strange feeling or sensation experience. So there, what you are realizing is that you are not the person who lifted the food. You are not the person who pushed the power, but there is an agent, that's an intention that lifts the foot, pushes it forward. Then you come to realize the intention is because lifting of the foot is the effect. Intention is because the pushing forward is effect. Sometimes you come to realize because there's an intention, there's a lift movement. Because there's an intention, there's a movement, pushing movement. When there's no intention, no lifting, in this way, you come to realize the cause and the effect. The intention, the cause, the movement, the effect. The intention, the cause, the movement of the pushing forward, the effect. In the same way, in daily activity too, when you lift the hand or the foot, when you hold it, something, when you say take the foot, when you bring the foot to the mouth, when you open the mouth, and so on, when you are able to know intention, then you come to realize that intention causes open the mouth. Intention causes the mouth to chew the food, and so on. In this way, intention is the cause of the movement, physical phenomena is the effect. You come to realize this, when you realize this cause and effect, you don't have any idea of a person, man or woman, self or soul, who does these movements and actions. They arise as depending on their condition and their cause. So the whole world is a cause and effect that you come to judge by inference from the personal experience of these cause and effect of men, intention and the movement of physical phenomena. That is called Atiya Prajhanyana, knowledge of discerning cause and effect, or knowledge of discerning conditionality. Atiya Prajhanyana. It's not difficult to experience this Atiya Prajhanyana if you strive your best to have the continuity of the mindfulness and the daily activity, observing each action's and movements in more and more detail, being patient with yourself, because man is too eager to do quickly anything, to walk quickly, to move quickly, to stretch out quickly. So you have to be patient, your agents, your impulse, and control your actions and do more the actions and movement more and more slowly. Observe it in more and more detail. Then you can experience these things in a short time. It doesn't take very long time. But the point is to have continuity of mindfulness for a certain period of time, say about 3 hours or 4 hours or one morning or one afternoon and so on. And you can easily experience it. May all of you rightly understand the technique with a strong belief, a strong faith in the teaching of the Buddha. Strive your best and experience these specific and general characteristics of embodiment process and attain the cessation of suffering.